We'll open the meeting at 5:31. And acknowledge the traditional custodians, the Gariata people, and recognise the contribution of Gariata elders past, present and future in working together for the future of Port Hedland. Item 3, recordance of attendance. Deputy Mayor Troy Melville is absent. The rest is as listed. Apologies, 3.2 apologies, 3.3 approval of absence. Councillor Jan Gillingham and Councillor David Hooper. 3.4 disclosures of interest. Do I have any disclosures? Mrs. Panganis?
No.
Councillor? Nothing. Thank you. Neil? Item 4, response to previous questions. 4.1, questions taken on notice at from the public at Audit, Risk and Governance Committee meeting held on the Tuesday, the 4th of July 2017. There's nil. 4.2, questions on notice from committee members at Audit, Risk and Governance Committee meeting held on Tuesday, the 4th of July 2017. There is a question and answer from Councillor Deputy Mayor Troy Melville. And 4.22 from Councillor Newbury. Item 5, applications for leave of absence. Do I have any applications for leave of absence? No. Thank you. There is nil. Item 6, attendance by telephone instantaneous communications. Do I have any requests? There is nil. Thank you. Item 7, public time. This meeting has been recorded on audio tape and is additional record of the meeting and to assist with minute-taking purposes, which may be released upon request to third parties. If you do not give your permission for recording your participation, please indicate this at the meeting. The public is reminded that in accordance with Section 616 of the Town of Port Hedland Local Law and Standing Orders, nobody shall use any visual, vocal, electronic devices or instruments to record the proceeding of any meeting unless that person has been given permission by the presiding member to do so. Members of the public also reminded that in accordance with Section 6174 of Town of Port Hedland Local Law and Standing Orders, mobile telephones must be switched off and not in use during the meeting. In accordance with Section 673 of Town of Port Hedland Local Law and Standing Orders, members of the public are required to complete a question form and place the completed form in the tray provided. 7.1, public question time. Open public question time at 5:34. And as there is no members of the public, we'll close public question time at 5:34. And open public statement time at 5:34. There's no members of the public. We'll close public statement time at 5:35. 7.3, petitions, deputations, presentations and submissions. There are nil. Item 8, questions from members without notice. Ms. Panganis?
Yep, I have a few questions. On page 17, item implement an internal audit functionality.
Ms. Panganis, do you want to ask those questions when the item comes up?
I prefer that. That's what we normally do.
Okay.
We ask the questions before.
That's fine. Carry on.
Yeah. Okay. Officer status update. It says that the role has not been carried out in its entirety due to an internal secondment, which is still current. So my question is, what functions are not carried and when and how these functions will be delivered? That's on page 17.
Page 17?
Yes, the first.
Did you?
Chair?
Yes.
So the the basic internal audit functions are being conducted by the officer while she is acting in the other role. It's Linda, who is acting finance manager as well. So there is some crossover between the two roles, and the elements that aren't being conducted, I guess, are the minor elements or the project-based work, which we're looking at either filling with external assistance or through leaving until that role reverts back, or that officer reverts back to the role.
Okay, so these are minor functions.
Yes.
So in relation to, I better just complete this. On page 18, establish a system to measure and report on the town's performance and progress in respect to achieving its strategic objectives. I want to say, and the officer's status update is that community survey is to be undertaken based on SAP indicators. So when will the community survey undertaken and what cost, if any?
Through the chair, the strategic community plan is currently being reviewed, so we're about to commence the community consultation on that process, and that is expected to be delivered early next year, the review strategic community plan. Our view would be that the community survey around strategic community plan indicators would be subsequent to that, so we can see what the baseline is before the plan is implemented. These surveys would generally be done via SurveyMonkey, so that is a product that we subscribe to regardless. So the cost is just the staff time to administer and promote that and crunch the data at the end.
Okay, thank you. Now, in relation to attachment one, item 12.1.1, which is the business improvement plan. Okay. Line 65, which relates to policies. That's
page 40.
No, I attached up there. To item 12.1, which is page 1 of 2, which is the business improvement plan. So on line 65.
Is that 65 or?
Yeah, yes, the line, yes. 65.
Line 65. Okay, yeah. Right. Yeah.
I note that this is 50% completed. And my question is, have you reviewed the procedures relating to recruitment and selection? And would you be able to provide a list of internal operating procedures that's been revised and the nature of provision made?
Through the chair, internal operating procedures are not a part of this. So internal operating procedures will be reviewed by the department that carries out those procedures. The policies refer to policies of council.
So these exclude the, these are not the other procedures that we normally...
So there's two levels of policy, yeah, within the organisation. The policies of council,
yeah,
and they are dealt with centrally through the governance team. Then the internal operating procedures are dealt with at the departmental level by the officers who implement things from day to day.
Yeah.
And they must comply with the policies, they are done by the department.
Yeah, I just note that in the outcome you mentioned here internal operating procedures. Okay. So the 50% complete is mainly applies to policies.
As the policies are reviewed and revised, the internal operating procedures that fall under them have to also be revised at the departmental level to ensure that they are still in line with the new policy that's been adopted, or the revised policy that's been adopted.
All right, so I got your point. Thank you. Now, in line 115, workforce plan, and then line 155, which I think is also related, 115 and 155, Okay, this relates to policies. Okay.
It is so the workforce the workforce plan, is that the plan that's currently in the agenda?
No.
Okay.
Okay, so that's anyway, that's 115 and 155. I note that this is already 90% completed and the other one is 100% completed, respectively. And the manual of policies on the website, but the manual on the policies on the website at the moment does not contain any policy relating to recruitment and selection. Please confirm that the town of Port Hedland does not have a policy on recruitment and selection.
Through the chair, I would need to take that on notice. So, sorry.
Yes.
Just...
We have an internal item related to recruitment and selection.
Yeah.
So there is internal processes for recruitment and selection that is supposed to flow out from the workforce.
Yeah, but there is, in our listing of policy, we don't have a policy on recruitment and selection
okay,
as such.
Okay, so, yes, and, if, that, and if that's the case, then it's up to, you know, the committee to put that forward and suggest to the administration that that is a policy that they would, that, you know, the committee would like to implement into our policy document.
I will just add to that that... probably the reason that there's no specific policy is that we've just been operating under the Public Sector Commission's general policies. That's not to say that we can't have a policy that also reflects those or may be stronger. And if that's certainly requested by the by the committee or by council, we would implement something along those lines.
So, thank you. So line 188, which is the code of conduct. I note that this is 100% completed. And does it mean that all staff, elected members and committee members have read and returned a copy with their signature? It's more of compliance.
Thank you.
So, through the chair, I can answer that in as much as the process following the adoption of the town's code of conduct last year was to roll it out to all of town's elected members, staff, but also contractors, and sorry, committee members as well. So there was a series of inductions as well that took place via an electronic internal platform that we have, and the code of conduct at the moment, I believe, also has a page that requires a signing at the back of it.
Yes.
So that's a process that's in place at the moment that should have been followed as we work through our internal audit process. I guess there will be a chance to look at and to verify that indeed every copy has been returned to us. Do you want to add to it, Linda?
Yes, for staff members, they go on our intranet system, it's called an ELMO training system, and it's compulsory to complete the code of conduct module,
yep.
Which is at the end, once they finalize it, it confirms that they have actually read it and accepted it. So that's an internal process of making sure
it's that applies to this. As part of the induction, or it's a part of the.
It's normally part of induction, but when it was re-rolled out in code of conduct that it was reviewed last year, it went back to all staff again on number to go through and to read through and work through and get acceptance at the end of it.
Okay.
So it was like a re-induction, if you can call it that, of the code of conduct to the staff.
Thank you. But we can't confirm that everyone has.
We can confirm we've got records that we completed the modules on ELMO, and that's regularly followed up by our HR department that promised people, I'm still waiting for this one, I'm still waiting. So they keep track of who has done that.
Through the chair, I could say with high confidence that everybody who is past their probation period would have completed that module.
Thank you. Line
190.
Which is on the... staff survey. and this was completed in 2016. And my question is, have you compiled, analyzed, and reported to the council the outcome of this survey?
Acting.
Through the chair, I don't know due to the amount of time ago. Linda?
I know it was not reported to council, it was reported to senior management. CEO and directors at the time looked at the survey outcomes. We have a ZLT consultative committee, which then got that back in terms of there was some action items that came out of it, like communication was one of them between departments as well as senior engineer levels. And that went back to them to workshop a plan and went back to directors and CEO that was implemented and improved. So they're also tracking the progress on all the items that came out in the SNAL survey.
So any issues that came out from that survey, are they captured some way somehow into these registers or?
No, not in the registers.
So I think it will be something, it's a form of assurance and it's a form of benchmarking, so I think it will be good to if it can be incorporated.
Is that a request or did you want?
Yeah.
Is it just a comment?
It is a comment, it's something that probably
okay.
worth considering. Because again, it is a form of assurance. Line 192, which we talk about the partial delivery of the internal auditor functions. So in line 192, we said we need to ensure that an auditor is appointed in compliance with legislative requirements. And that appointment is 100% complete. And then how does it impact if it is a partial appointment, it's a second man, and how does it impact on legal compliance?
Through the chair.
Are they two different
things? They're two different things.
Yeah.
So this refers to the external audit.
Okay, sorry. Okay, line 200. Continue to develop and finalize the internal operating procedure for recruitment, selection, and appointments of staff. I note that this was completed on 16 September 2016. A few questions there. Is this the version currently in place? And another one is, I assume this was not the version that was used by the Paxson Group, which was mentioned in attachment 1 to item 12.1.5, as the review was undertaken before this day. Is this correct? Are they two different versions?
Through the chair, I would have to go back and look at the version control of when the updates were made to work out on what dates they were changed and what elements were changed, how big they were, but I can certainly take that on notice and come back.
Thank
you.
And last two lines here on page 35, which is the outcome of the Paxson Group audits. These reports noted a number of breaches, and my question is, how much did it cost the council or the ratepayers or the insurance, and does it include the payment to the former CEO, the acting CEO, and other senior management team who left the company?
So my understanding, actually my recollection, was that it was around $26,000 as per a council decision, and no, it did not include that payment.
So the $26,000 mainly for?
That's just yes, I think. Would you like to?
Sorry, I think you. I'm just not clear on the question. The cost for which?
Yeah, the Paxson report noted a number of breaches.
Yeah.
Say, in relation to redundancy payments,
yes,
and the I think relating to the executive officer.
Yeah.
And then my question is, how much did it cost the council or the ratepayers or the insurance? Because we paid them some money.
Yes.
And the other question is, does it include the payment to the former CEO, whatever amount you provide? Does it include the payment to the former CEO, the acting CEO, and other members of the senior management?
So again, I'm quite sure that the resolution of council for these reports, so these ones you're referring to, $26,000 was the quote.
No, the question is about the payments, as in, so can I just
clarify? Redundancy payments,
yes, yep.
And other payments that
are you asking what was the amount of money that they were paid over what they're entitled to, or what was the amount of money that they were paid?
Yeah, as a consequence of these breaches, I mean, how much money we actually spent. I mean, there was breaches in the procedure. And so we gave them so much money, and I'd like to know how much did it actually, or
so,
you know, how much did it cost the council?
We would have to take that on notice to pull those figures apart, because there are figures mentioned in there, but they're not specifically related to the breach. We would have to do some work to separate them.
Okay, thank you. And the last is also in relation to this audit report, and has there been further breaches since this audit was commissioned? And have we advertised all positions? Have people declared conflict of interest as per section 7 of this procedure, the recruitment and selection procedure? And can we confirm that we have completed a shortlisting matrix for each selection event, which is based on this procedure?
So, acting. Through the chair, so I'll just go through them one by one. The shortlisting matrices are required to proceed to interview, so they are being completed for every recruitment that is occurring. Sorry, could you just go through them one by one? And I'll
so the first thing, has there been further breaches since this audit was commissioned? Or are you aware of any breaches?
Not that I'm aware of. Mm.
Secondly is, have we advertised all positions? Because that's also a breach that was mentioned in this report.
I believe that to be the case, but I also believe that the current IOP allows for direct appointments in certain circumstances with certain documentation. So we are in line with the current procedure, which is different to the procedure that was breached under that report.
And then the members of the panel, have they declared conflict of interest? Should, you know, again, it's quite specific here.
Yes, so through the chair, for every complaint that we have received about conflict of interest, there has been a form declared and the appropriate approvals have been in place for that. I cannot say where I haven't, I cannot say what I don't know, but there is the procedure in place where people have been declaring their conflicts of interest if they exist prior to selection processes, and some people have been stood down from, or not stood down, but have recused themselves from panels because they have known an applicant, and some have been allowed to because it's just someone that they've worked with before, and wherever that has been raised with us, we have gone and the relevant paperwork has been lodged.
Okay, so we have evidence to support that.
Yes.
Thank you. That's all. Thanks.
Councillor Arif?
No, no questions.
Ms. Abbott?
Yes, do I ask my questions now, or do I have to get right?
We're on a roll, so...
Some of the stuff is noted, sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
With it being noted, can I ask questions now, or can I ask when it becomes an agenda item?
Yes, you can ask the questions now, Stan.
Well, my first question is, agenda item attachment 3, 12.15. I have it in my folder. I have it in my folder, right?
Yeah,
hang on, Mr. Atwood, just which page or accent? Oh, this one.
It's
okay.
No page.
It's in my folder as a confidential.
Yeah.
Isn't it in those ones over there?
What?
It shouldn't be.
No, it's a confidential item.
I'm asking, what is in mine? Mine wasn't in the envelope.
So there is a report at the back with the same colour.
I can answer this through the chair, if I may. This item has been, it's the only attachment to the Paxson audit that has actually been made public. The watermark, private and confidential, should have been taken off in this instance. So this report related to the airport has been made public because it was not deemed as containing confidential information. So it could have been, and it has gone out to the public. So yes, it is probably contained in those agendas out there. However, those other ones which contained matters in relation to human resources have been made confidential, and also the report in relation to procurement, and which included some commercial in confidence information or information in relation to businesses has been made confidential. Yeah.
Okay, page 17. Update review of the heritage inventory. You got the Heritage Act of WA. This includes the Aboriginal Act of Heritage as well.
Acting.
Through the chair, the local heritage inventory, I believe, did not, as it's just for buildings and landmarks.
Sure.
So physical buildings. So the Aboriginal heritage and its related legislation are dealt with through the state government legislation, which is much stronger and offers much more protection than the local heritage inventory.
That's why I'm asking the question, because this council has passed, while it was in the past, changing the concept of native title claim.
Is that a question, Mr. Atwood?
Yeah, it was a question, because the Native Title Act and the Heritage Act of WA are two separate things here. So I'm just questioning, have you taken that into consideration, because there are a lot of Aboriginal heritage sites in Port Hedland.
We would have taken that into consideration, Mr. Atwood.
Just pointing out that the council is going through to the councillor, Ms. Pandana has picked up on the business plan. Going to number 190.
Business improvement plan.
100%
complete. 190.
The survey. You've got a due date of 1st of 12/17. 100% complete. There's no complete the completion date. Why?
Due date.
Completion date might have been on another drawing.
We can take that on notice, Mr. Atwood, and see if there's...
And the completion date was not put in because by the time that this was revealed, the manager of HR has already left the organisation, so we are not exactly sure as to the date that he has finalised and revealed. It is not maybe just an oversight in just the finalisation date, because at that stage we will just put the day's date. It's not necessarily as a completion date, it's the day that we have revealed.
Attachment 3, item 12.12, with regard to the Port Hedland. Officers update, formal discussion between BHP and the town has not yet commenced, although the council of principal supports has some concerns about the future lease and the risk is ongoing until a discussion commence and a formal release is extended as requested. how much will the council miss out on with regard to this lease?
Well, there hasn't been an application put forward currently on that lease, so we are not. Is that correct?
Through the chair, how much rates? Or,
yeah.
Sorry, Lena.
Because the property is on the project, whatever happens, if it continues in the future, that rights will still come to the town. If it's discontinued and the property is for other purposes, that rights will still come to the town.
So you put that in writing?
Could we clarify?
Based on what happens also with the long-term
Well, through the chair, I would tend to disagree because the rates that a camp will pay are significantly higher than for another use. Mm-hmm. So, potentially, I believe that the rate that they pay are around $800,000 or $900,000. If they were changed to another use, it would be significantly lower than that.
Yeah, just the rating is 15, which is 50% above normal, which normal is. Well, the red line is 10, right? And this is up to 15, which is 50% above 10. And I think it's a huge problem.
Through the chair, it is a very difficult one. There is certainly reputational issues. A lot of the community has a very strong view about FIFO camps. So that is an issue. There is a financial impact from the rates. There is a possibility that the camp could be moved onto state agreement land, which would have an impact on our rate base because we can't rate state agreement land. So there are a lot of significant risks for the council, whichever way the council decides on this particular issue. So that is why it has been rated so highly.
The
question,
answers,
no,
to the question.
Because the question has been answered.
Only the questions on notice are printed in the minutes.
But it is recorded.
Yeah,
okay.
It is recorded.
Recording, oh, okay, no problems. AGL committee work plan. Line item number 9, 2.2, internal audit plan 2018.
Could I have a page or
Okay.
Attachment 1,
mm-hmm.
Item 12.14.
Yep.
Yep.
So this internal audit plan 18. When is 18? Isn't it the financial year or what?
Item 9. 2.2.
Mm-hmm. When you say 18, what is 18?
Oh, okay.
Is it 17,
18?
I'm lost.
Was
18, 19? Oh, okay. Yeah, with the internal audit plan. No,
yeah.
We should be putting together an internal audit plan for 2017-18. So that's what it should have been up there.
Okay,
yeah.
Then on that, if you go to the blue line, when you go right through to August 2018, why is it going to be over a year away?
Sorry, no, I can answer this one.
Oh, okay.
Sorry,
yeah.
Through the chair. The internal audit plan for the 17-18 financial year has already been done and adopted, and we're reporting on that. This is the work programming upcoming for the ARG. So the ARG, this group, will need to address the next year's one in next financial year's internal audit. So selecting what is going to be audited in August, and that is what this is reflecting.
Clarify the ARG work plan has not been adopted. It's been.
Sorry,
that's
correct.
What's
it hasn't
going
been prepared.
Up.
It's
yes.
been prepared.
What I should have
yes.
said. It has been prepared.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, as a committee member, I'll push for an internal auditor. I think what highlighted in these confidential stuff is what has been missing by this council, which is the internal auditor, which could have picked up quite a lot of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Are you referring to these?
Yeah.
So these refer to
getting back to this 2.2, I think it is something that needs to be a working document within the AGR, because this stuff highlighted what the problems are in this organisation. I think an internal auditor, which is in working conjunction with AGR, can make and look at the and do maybe prevent some of this stuff happening.
Can I just clarify that, acting internal auditor, which auditors does the ARG deal with, external?
Both.
Both?
So, yeah, both.
Okay. Councillor Newbury?
No.
Councillor Wilber?
I've just got one question. It relates to the Paxton audit, 12.115, and it's on page 3.
Page 3.
Findings.
Anything further, Councillor?
When you have a look at that, I've got this question. If so, what were the circumstances of that appointment? That's all. It's fairly simple.
Do you have a...
Through the chair, that may be difficult because a lot of the relevant staff members may not be here, if in fact we can find one. But we will certainly look and provide all the information that we can.
Okay.
Do you have a line of inquiry you'd like...
No?
Okay. Anything further, Councillor? Councillor Tarley? Thank you. Item 9, declarations of all members to have given due consideration to all matters contained in the business paper before the meeting. Can I have a show of hands, please? Thank you. Item 10, confirmation of minutes of previous meetings. 10.1, confirmation of minutes of Audit, Risk and Governance Committee meeting held on Tuesday the 4th of July 2017. I have a mover in the officer's recommendation. Move Ms. Panganis. Do I have a seconder? Seconded. Councillor Arif. Do I have any against? Motion's passed 7-0. Item 11, announcements by presiding member without discussion. There is nil. Disclaimer, members of the public are cautioned against taking any action on committee decisions on items on this evening's agenda in which they may have an interest until formal notification in writing by the town has been received. Decisions made at this meeting can be revoked pursuant to the Local Government Act 1995. Item 12. At 12.11, quarterly better practice review update. With the officer's recommendation on page 16, do I have a mover in the officer's recommendation? Move Councillor Arif. Do I have a seconder? Councillor Tarvo. Do I have any against? Motion's passed 7-0. 12.1.2, bi-monthly status report of the Audit, Risk and Governance Committee. The officer's recommendation on page 21. Do I have a mover in the officer's recommendation? Move Councillor Whitwell. Seconded Councillor Arif. Do I have any against? Motion's passed 7-0. 12.1.3, funding and donations for the period of 1st of July to 30th of June 2017. The officer's recommendation on page 27. Do I have a mover in the officer's recommendation? Councillor Newbury. Have a seconder? Councillor Tarvo. Do I have any against? Motion's passed 7-0. Point 4, adoption of the Audit Risk and Governance Committee work plan for 17-18. The officer's recommendation on page 32. Do I have a mover in the officer's recommendation? Move Councillor Tarvo. Do I have a seconder? Councillor Arif. Do I have any against? Motion's passed 7-0. 12.1.5, outcome of Paxton Group audits with the officer's recommendation on page 36. Do I have a mover in the officer's recommendation? Move Councillor Tarvo. Seconder Councillor Arif. Do I have any against?
I'm not against, but I'm just...
You're either against or you're for.
I just want to ask the question, is because it's confidential stuff here, right? Are you discussing that later on as an agenda item or what?
No, we've got a mover and a seconder. Do I have any against?
Yes.
Speakers for, Councillor Tarvo. Speakers for, Councillor Ari. Speakers against, Mr. Atwood. Okay, so if we want to speak about the confidential attachments, then we will have to move into confidence. So is there any... do you want to go into confidence now?
It's probably better to be safe and move into confidence.
Do I have a mover to go into confidence? Thanks. Moved... Councillor Tarvo, do I have a seconder? Ms. Panganis, do I have any against? Motion's passed 7-0. Can I get the...
I've got a mover. Can I put up that I withdraw my...
Hang on one sec. I'm getting confused here. We came out of... So, a mover and a seconder to come out of confidence.
Yep. Yeah.
Move. Do I have moved Councillor Tarvo to come out of confidence? Do I have a seconder? Councillor Arif? Do I have any against? Motion's passed 7-0. We have a mover in Councillor Tarvo, a seconder in Councillor Arif on the officer's recommendation. Speakers for, Councillor Tarvo.
Nothing to say, should be moved and move on.
Speakers for, Councillor Arif.
Thank you very much. I believe that Mr. Atwood has got all the right information now and agrees with the motion that's put.
Speakers against, Mr. Abbott.
I'm withdrawing my against the motion.
Thank you.
After going into the...
So, could I have a vote on the officer's recommendation on page 36? All in favour?
Can I get a right to reply?
Actually, that is actually a good idea. Do we have to?
Yeah.
No?
Yeah.
Okay. The motion is passed 7-0. Item 13, motions from which previous notice has been given. There is nil. Item 14, new business of an urgent nature. There is nil. Item 15, matters for which meeting may be closed. Confidential matters. there is nil. Item 16, closure, will close the meeting at 6:34.